I'd like to invite any of our children and those of you who are feeling childlike to come on up this morning. Rachel, it's all, well, you know what? I'm going to have Rachel just stay right there. Just stay there since we've got one. We're going to do it this way. Well, what did you smell when you came in this morning?
Bread.
Yeah, bread. How many of you made you hungry? A few of you. How many of you didn't have breakfast yet? No, I'm just kidding. We don't do that. in the scriptures, Jesus calls himself bread. I am going to ask you this question, Rachel. Why did Jesus call himself bread? Because bread is what? Nutritious? Okay, that's good. That's a very good idea. Yeah, he calls himself the bread of life because he wants us to think about the fact that when we smell bread, or when we touch bread, or when we taste bread, we're meant to be thinking about him. And we're meant to be thinking about the fact that though food is important to our bodies, that Jesus is even more important to our bodies. And he gives us something that's called eternal life. We're going to be talking about eternal life a little later in the service. Now, I thought about just making you all just sit here and smell this bread while we're... I can't put these things on. Never mind. We're just going to break it. Ready? This is called English muffin bread. And I'm just going to divide it up here, and my wife is going to help me just hand it to you. And if you would like to tear a piece off and have some, you may do so. If you don't like that idea, then you don't have to do that. But it's a reminder to us of the marvelous person of Jesus Christ and the call to remember him as the bread of life.
Why don't you put some butter on it? It tastes good.
Put some butter on it. You know what? Once you taste this, you're going to know that you don't need any butter. No, it's homemade.
Oh, I thought Safeway bread. We had that in my store, too.
Do you? All right. All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to pass the rest of this on this big plate here. Help yourself if you'd like some. All right. Now, we're going to look today. We've been looking at images of Jesus. We started last week, we started talking about in the first Sunday of Advent, talking about Jesus as Emmanuel, the image of Jesus as Emmanuel, the God who is with us. And this week, obviously, we're looking at Jesus as the bread of life. Now, the image of Jesus as bread begins already in the story of Christmas. And so this morning, we're going to first of all turn to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. We'll focus on some words in verses 5 and 6. And so I invite you to hear the word of the Lord, words from the book that we love, from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 6.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, many from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was distraught, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written."
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him.
That's far enough. Thank you. Thank you. We'll let you read some more later in a minute. These are the words of God. Now, I want you to focus on a word that you heard over and over and over again in our reading this morning, and that is the word Bethlehem. Now, in Hebrew, that word is pronounced this way, Beit Lechem. Say it with me. It's one of these great words. It's one of these Hebrew words to say, Beit Lechem. Beit is the word for house. Lechem is the word for bread. So Bethlehem is literally the house of bread. Now, I want you to think about this. The man who describes himself later as the bread of life, the bread for the world, was born in Beit Lechem, in the house of bread. So already in the Christmas story, we have this picture of Jesus as the bread of life. Now, Jesus expands and deepens that understanding of himself as the bread of life in our next text for this morning, and that is John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. Now, I want to say that when we start reading at verse 25, we're reading in the middle of a story. We're starting in the middle of a story that began already at the beginning of chapter 6. Because at the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 people with about less bread than we had here together this morning. I never learned that in my seminary classes. I didn't learn how to multiply the bread. That's a joke. Never mind. Nobody's laughing. I need Edmund Mann standing off to the side laughing when I make these kind of jokes. But Jesus, so this is kind of a conversation that's been going on. Jesus gives them this bread, and then he, during the night, sails or goes with his disciples across the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd runs around to meet him. And what this time does is, number one, is it gets the people excited because they're thinking that Jesus can feed them physically. But then also what happens through this feeding is that there's a conversation, a discussion that's begun between Jesus and these people. And that's where we pick up the discussion. Let's listen to these words, words from the book that we love, John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35.
When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed the seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent."
So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestor ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who had given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty."
Again, these are the words of God. Now, Jesus as the bread of life, that's the image that we're going to look at. Again, we're going to follow the pattern that we talked about last week. We're going to talk, first of all, about the image of Christ, what is meant by Jesus as the bread of life. But then we're going to look at how that image is seen and lived out in our lives as well. We're going to start by talking about Jesus as the bread of life. Now, as Jesus is approached by the crowd in verse 25 of John 6 with their rather lame question, "When did you get here?" Jesus sees right through that question, and he says, in effect, his response in effect is this, is you're not concerned about me. You're concerned about your stomachs. You didn't come to find me because you're wondering about what I'm doing and where I'm going. You just want me to keep on feeding you. Now, that leads Jesus to pick up on the image of the bread that he just supplied just a day ago, and he does what he does so well, in that he takes an ordinary conversation and he makes it a spiritual conversation. Look again at verse 27. He says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Now, that term Son of Man, as many of you may know, is Jesus' way of referring to himself. He calls himself the Son of Man on a regular basis. And we could get into that, but we're not going to, because that's a big picture and a big idea that he's got going there. So we're going to leave that lay for right now. But what Jesus is doing here is he speaks to these folks is he's directing their attention away from the bread. The bread that he provided has got their attention. And Jesus turns their attention away from that bread and towards himself. And the first thing that Jesus wants them to understand about himself and wants us to understand about himself as the bread of life is this, is that Jesus is bread worth working for. Now, that word work, I want to talk about that a little bit. That word work is really important in our text for this morning. In verses 27 through 30 alone, the word work is used 5 times. Quite literally, the crowd asks Jesus in verse 28 this. They say, "What may we do that we may work the works of God?" And then in verse 30, when they're asking Jesus, our translation is, "What will you do?" Actually, what they say to him is, "What do you work?" Now, what's fascinating in this discussion is that Jesus and the crowd are using vastly different understandings of the word work. For the crowd, work has to do with the law. That is, what do we do? What do we need to do in order to earn the blessing? What do we need to do? What kind of activities do we need to engage in so that we can earn this eternal life that you're talking about, Jesus? Jesus, on the other hand, is using the word work as another word for faith. Look at verse 29. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work I'm calling you to do is faith. You see, Jesus really isn't asking the crowd to do anything. He's simply asking them to believe. He's challenging them to believe in the gift that God himself has given. Believe that the Father wants to give you the best kind of bread, says Jesus, and that bread is not the stuff that you just ate. God has something better in mind for you, and you can have this bread through faith in me. Now, the eternal life that Jesus talks about here is more than life that just goes on and on and on. I want to encourage you sometime to sit down and to read the Gospel of John, taking note of how often that term life or eternal life is used, especially by Jesus himself. As Jesus uses that term, he's not just talking about in the sweet by and by or when we all get to heaven, that kind of thing, but rather Jesus in the Gospel of John, when he talks about eternal life, he's talking about something that's here and now. And he's talking about life, not so much a quantity of life, life that goes on and on and on and on, as he's talking about a quality of life. You see, the idea is when he talks about eternal life, Jesus is saying, God wants to give you the very best kind of life. He wants to give you the very best life as God understands that life, the kind of life that he created us for. The kind of life where we live with God in relationship and in joy. The kind of life where we are freed from sin and we can live our lives as God originally intended us to live. And this eternal life that Jesus comes to bring is not given to us as a result of an accomplishment. It's not if somehow we earn this eternal life, but rather it is the result of the gift of faith. The work of faith, if you will, of believing in Jesus Christ. Believe and receive. That's Jesus' message. Believe. Work the work of faith to receive Jesus Christ. But Jesus isn't finished with this idea, this bread of life image. And as the crowds try to wrap their minds around what Jesus is talking about, he moves the conversation to manna, to the time of Moses and the Exodus, the miraculous provision of bread from heaven, namely manna. Now, basically, in verses 30 and 31, the crowd throws down a challenge. They say to Jesus this, if you are the Messiah, as you claim to be, give us manna, as Moses did. Now, in doing this, the crowd is not being difficult, they're being theological. You see, in Jesus' time, there was this expectation that just as Moses, the first redeemer, the first one who delivered Israel, just as Moses provided the people with manna, So when the Messiah came, the second Redeemer of Israel, he too would provide manna. One of the signs would be that there would be manna from heaven. And so they're basically saying, show us the manna. We want to see the proof that you are the Messiah. Now, it's at this point that Jesus brings us to the second thing he wants us to understand about himself as the bread of life. Jesus says, I'm the true manna. I'm the true manna. Jesus responds to the crowd in a very typical rabbinical fashion. Often what the rabbis would do when they were teaching people was they would say, you don't really understand the scriptures. You're not getting it. First of all, it's not Moses who gave you the manna. It was God who gave you the manna. It was a gift of God. But more importantly than that, Jesus says you're missing the point of the manna. You see, manna, as Scripture describes it, manna isn't and wasn't, first of all, a means by which to keep people alive. Certainly that's what it did. But manna always serves in Scripture as a reminder of an even greater food, an even greater gift that God wants to give, and that's the gift of eternal life. I want you to notice the change in verb tense that Jesus uses in verses 32 and 33. He speaks of Moses, first of all, as not the one who has given, past tense, something that happened in the past, someone who has given bread from heaven. But he says the Father is the one who gives, present perfect. Present perfect is that ongoing action, okay? So Father is, Moses is not the one who gave, past tense, but the Father is the one who gives and keeps on giving. And he again repeats that same tense in verse 33 when he talks about the Father gives this to the world. Jesus' point is this, is as miraculous as manna was, as bread from heaven, most of us would be shocked if we walked out in the morning and found this white stuff on our lawn and found out that we could eat it, all right? As miraculous as manna was, throughout Scripture, it is only a symbol of something much greater. The true bread, the real bread that God seeks to provide, coming down from heaven to give life to the world. Jesus says, I am the true manna. And there's a bit of an irony here, because as the crowd is standing in front of Jesus saying, show us the manna, give us what we want, Jesus is working the work that brings about salvation, and they don't see it. They're looking at the bread of life. It'd be like me holding up this loaf that I just had this morning, and I said, do you want some bread? And you'd say, well, I don't see any bread. Jesus says, I'm right here in front of you. I am the life of the world. Now, all of this leads us to the second thing that we want to look at this morning, and that is the image of the bread in us. You see, these images that we have of Jesus don't apply just to him. Remember, we talked about this last week, but rather these images are meant to set up life in us and to help us live as well. And so, first of all, if we're going to talk about the image of the bread of life in us, we must, first of all, be fed by faith. That is, we must understand that the real bread, the bread that we need, is ours only by faith. We, in other words, must do the work of faith. We must believe in Jesus Christ as the gift of God, as the one who gives us true life. We're called to put our trust in him. Now, that's an old, for those of you who have been sitting in church for years, that's an old thing. But I want you to ask yourself this question very seriously this morning. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you trust in him alone as the one who gives life to you? And if you want to talk some more about that, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, or you want to talk some more about that, I'm going to be at the back door after church, and I'd love to talk with you some more about what does it mean to put our faith in Jesus Christ. See, the only way that we can have real life, the only way we can have this eternal life, not just life that goes on and on and on, but this amazing life that God has created for us, the only way we can have it is through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. If you were at the funeral yesterday, you heard those words from John 14 where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way. There is no other way to receive life. Now, once we understand that, once we put our faith in Jesus Christ to receive him as the true bread and the true manna, another idea of this image of bread being of Jesus as the bread of life in our lives is this, is that we become stimulated rather than sated. Allow me to explain what I mean in this by looking at the last verse of chapter that we read from chapter 6. There Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, a straightforward reading of this verse gives us this idea that once we believe in Jesus Christ, he fills us to the full and we've received life. And there is a sense to that. But what's important to understand when Jesus talks about himself as the bread of life is there's a nuance in his words. There's a way that he puts his words in the original language that gets to this idea that what Jesus is promising is not continual fullness. Jesus isn't promising that, spiritually speaking, you're going to be like you feel after your Thanksgiving dinner. Remember how you felt? All right? I'm full. All right? And a lot of people think that Jesus, as the bread of life, that's what he's going to do. He's going to make me full. I'm going to be full all the time. But rather, the idea that Jesus is getting at is this, is that once you taste this bread, you won't be satisfied with anything else. In other words, Jesus' promise here is that the life you will receive when you believe in me will stimulate you to seek me more and more. Do you understand the difference there? If we are sated, if all of our needs are met, then we just kind of go, oh, Jesus, that was great. I'm going to put my feet up in my easy chair and I'm going to watch football. You filled me. If we are stimulated to seek more, I want you to think about this. Think about this in terms of something that you ate that you want to eat again. That you just want to pursue because it was so good, you want to go there and your favorite restaurant or some food that you ate somewhere that you want again, you want to have it again. That's the idea that Jesus has. Not so much that you're going to be full, but this idea that you're going to have this passion to pursue him, to seek life, to seek real life in no one else but him. We find all we need in Jesus Christ, but our relationship with him is not, okay, Jesus filled me 25 years ago when I came to faith in him, and I've been full ever since. Jesus filled me, and I want to keep pursuing him. I want to keep becoming more and more like him. Jesus' image as the bread of life, then, is seen in us as we find fulfillment in him not once, but again and again and again. Coming back to him. He creates a desire within us. When we come to him in faith, he creates a desire within us to pursue him. Remember a number of weeks ago when we talked about vision, and one of the things we talked about was that pursuit of Jesus Christ. That desire to become more and more like him, to follow him, to run after him, if you will. That's what Jesus is talking about. And that leads me to the last thing I want to say about this image of Jesus, the true bread in us, and that is that we are meant to be pointing the way by our passion. You see, none of us is the true bread of life. Only Jesus Christ is the true bread that the world needs. But the idea that Jesus is getting at here is this, is that if we are passionate about pursuing him, if it's our desire always to seek to become more and more like him, we will point the way to him. If we are continually running after Jesus Christ, trying to be more and more like him, our passion will be contagious. I think too often we look at our Christian life as this. I come to Jesus, he fills me up, and I get to just sit and enjoy him. But if we understand what Jesus is talking about, is he gives me this taste of this bread, this relationship with him, and he's calling me to this continual pursuit to run after him, then we become these people of passion, these people of purpose, these people who have a desire in our lives. I think too many Christians in our world today are looked at as people who've received the gift, and now they're just hanging out and waiting for Jesus to call them home. That's not the image that Jesus has here. It's an image of someone who is so passionate about pursuing him that they're the light of the world. They're the salt of the earth. They're this group of people that are running after Jesus, and everybody else is saying, where are you going, and can I join you? Stimulated rather than sated. Living with a passion that draws other people to faith in Jesus Christ. People will follow us to Jesus. Christians have often been described as one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's a pretty good picture of what Jesus is getting at here. I'm not the bread, you're not the bread, I don't have it in me, You don't have it in you, but Jesus has it in him. And if I run after him, if I pursue him, I will find what I'm looking for. And I will help others to find what they're looking for as well. Now, I put the communion table up here this morning for a reason. We're not having communion today. And we're not having it for a couple of weeks. But I want you to be thinking, as we prepare to have communion 2 weeks from now, I want you to be thinking about how the things that we've been talking about this morning happen here. First of all, we're called to come forward to receive the bread and the cup. And as we receive the bread and the cup, we are, as we've talked about before, in some miraculous way fed by faith. That Jesus nourishes our souls to eternal life as we come here. As we come here, we express our faith in Jesus Christ. We partake of what he has given to us, and he gives us life. But then something else that happens at the table is we're stimulated. We're stimulated to seek him more and more. We've talked about this before, too. That to come to the table of the Lord, to come to the table of the Lord is not just to come so that I can sit down and I can have my meal, but so that I can then go out and live for him. I'm stimulated. I'm not sated. I don't come here and hang out at the table and eat my fill. But Jesus feeds me and then I go out. And then when we go out, we point the way by our passion. I love how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 11 when he says, when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. There's a testimony thing going on here. As we come to the table, as we are stimulated to go out into the world, suddenly we become these lights that are shining for Jesus Christ in the world around us. And so as we anticipate the sacrament in a couple of weeks, I want you to be thinking about those kinds of things. This isn't just it's the third Sunday of the month, we're going to have a longer service because it's communion and Pastor Tom doesn't shorten his sermons. But I want you to be thinking about it in this idea of Jesus as the bread of life. That we come to be fed by him, by his grace and his power. He takes himself and he gives us life. And as he gives us this life, we're stimulated to pursue him more and more, to become more and more like him, to have more and more what he wants to give to us. And as we get out there in the world with this message of Jesus' love for us, we become one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Jesus is the bread of life. The bread given for the life of the world. The bread given for you and for everyone you know. May that image of the bread of life live in us. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we bless you for the manna, the true manna, the gift of Jesus Christ. We pray for forgiveness, Father, when we receive that manna like the Israelites did, where we just kind of go, yeah, thanks for the miracle, but we want more. And we ask, Lord, that you would stimulate us to seek Jesus more and more and more. To thank you for the gift, but then to know that Jesus is calling us to a better life, a life that you have made for us, that you've called us to. That eternal life that we might live with and for you forever. We pray this in the name of him who is our life, who is the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.